Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us join our hearts and minds together in mutual thanksgiving and prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, as you have given grace unto us this morning to awaken to this new day, we thank you even now for the beauty of your creation, which we eagerly await at this time of year, when we know that soon your nature will spring forth into the newness of life. The grass will become green, the flowers will sprout, we plant our seeds with the hope of growth and of the fruit that we can once harvest. And even this reminds us of that coming celebration at Easter, when we are able to again especially remember the resurrection victory on Easter morning, when Jesus, who had suffered the afflictions of life all the way to the grave, willingly giving his life and shedding his blood so that we might have the hope of everlasting life, and then was able to overcome death and hell and the enemy of souls when he was able to rise victorious on Easter morning, so that we also would have the hope of a new life, a life where there are no more sorrows, tribulations, or temptations. When we are able to exchange this cross that we carry in this life for an everlasting crown of glory there in heaven. And as we have this opportunity to gather around the hearing and study of your holy word, and to enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in living faith, we also want to remember in prayer those who, because of their infirmities and age, are unable to come together with us. We know that even here in this congregation, there are a number of those who are now confined to places of care or perhaps even to their own homes, but have difficulty venturing away from those places. We ask that you would continue to comfort them and give them patience as they wait for that call when you allow them also to lay down this cross, and when they can receive that reward that awaits all who remain desiring to walk in your kingdom that you have given, that they continue to desire to hear that message, that comforting message that they, in spite of their own doubts and sinfulness, are able to uplift their hearts together with us and believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We remember also even those, many of us who have prodigal sons and daughters who no longer have this peace of heart and the hope of heaven, that they would be given the realization that they no longer have the hope of everlasting life, and that they would desire to ask that, what must I do to be saved? And as we this morning begin this service, we ask that, dear Father, you would, through your word, give us comfort and assurance, that personally each one of us would be strengthened so that we could renew those promises to believe. And we yet pray as your Son has once taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before I read a text, I would just briefly bring greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God, your brothers and sisters there in my home congregation in Managa. I will read this morning a portion of God's Word that is found in the 9th chapter of the Gospel of St. John. The story or the happening that we read of there takes the entire chapter, but that's a little too lengthy, I think, for this morning. So I would read a portion from the beginning and then also from the end of that chapter. And the words are as follows in Jesus' name. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. And then we'll go to the end of that chapter and read a few verses. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, Thou wast altogether born in sins, and thou dost teach us. And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. Amen. We read here of this certain man who was blind, and Jesus healed and gave him his sight. The scriptures say that this individual was blind already when he was born. When we think as you parents who are at that stage of life, when you find out that you are expecting the birth of a child, I'm sure the common hope and prayer is that the child that you are given would be healthy and whole. We know how in our time, with the wisdom that the medical profession has, the opportunity is even available. And we know there are those who desire to use that opportunity when the doctors, perhaps already many times in the early stages of pregnancy, are able to know that the child may have some physical or mental issues that we in our minds would consider as something less than healthy and desirable, as even as the example of this man of whom we read here, who was born without eyesight. And we know how the option is offered even in some of those cases, that the question is asked of the parents, that would you desire to abort this child before it is born? In our minds, we would think even perhaps that when we know that God is the giver of life, and God also is the one who decides the number of our days. We can even begin to wonder that, did God in some cases make a mistake? But by faith, we understand that God, who has created everything and who gives life even on to our children, does not make in these things either a mistake. But He has given or made each one of us as we are by His design. We, yesterday, there in our home congregation, witnessed in a funeral service one who had been born prematurely, and knowing that there were physical issues, but yet when it was born, it only lived for perhaps 15 minutes or so. And we can wonder that what would be the purpose. But even these things, we know God has His purpose. And it is, we find it impossible for us to understand, and I don't think it is wise for us to try to ponder them too deeply. God's wisdom, we know, is much greater than ours. But even in this case here, when we read of this blind man, we can see here how Jesus uses this example as a teaching tool to those who were able to witness it. And we see how many of them, in spite of this, did not believe. They rejected even this teaching that Jesus desired to make known. We read at the beginning and how we understand how many of those Jews of that time believed that even a illness or a difficulty that someone perhaps had was a result of their sinfulness, that it was as punishment for what had happened. And so even Jesus' disciples, being also human and with their own mind and thoughts, we read in the beginning, they asked Jesus that, why was this person born blind? Was it because of sins that he did, or was it because of the sins that his parents committed? And remember how Jesus answers that neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And so we see how, even here, God has His purpose, even for the blindness of this man. And even the trials of health that perhaps a person has later in life, When we experience, perhaps in our own life or in the lives of our family members or friends or acquaintances, and when we look back on those experiences, there oftentimes are then more apparent the reason, perhaps, that even these things have God has allowed to come, these trials for us to endure in this life, and how we know how we are, or at least I should say, I am so that it is so easy to take what we have been given, even in this area of our own health and well-being, so much for granted, and how we can become so wrapped up in even the planning and living of our temporal lives that sometimes we need the time to pause and consider what are the most important matters of life. I think in recent times the example of my nephew, who I'm sure many of you are aware, as a father of a large family, has been suffering from terminal cancer and has had much time to think and ponder. And some of you, I'm sure, have read many of his postings, his comments about life, and have been able to learn from his many thoughts that he has been able to express concerning the most important matters of life. And here we read here how Jesus then continues, how I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so here, even when the disciples ask this question, that what is the cause of this man being blind? That was it because of his sins or his parents' sins? And Jesus revealed unto them that it is neither. But he, here even in this example, used this blind man as a, perhaps we could say, as a tool or a teaching method, when he here then also says that he must do this work. He desired to reveal the kingdom of God unto those who even witnessed this happening, to reveal that the question really was not of who committed sin, but who and how can the sinner be helped. And then we read here how when he had spoken, he spit on the ground and he made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. And so this man had been healed. He had received his sight when Jesus made mud of that dirt, put it in his eyes, told him to go and wash in the pool. And so this, of course, causes those who had known this person to ask that, what happened? We read here how those neighbors and those that were around that had seen him before and knew that he was blind, they asked, isn't this the same one that sat and begged? Some said, this is the one. Others said, he just looks like him. But the man who had been blind says, I am he. And then they ask him, how were your eyes opened? And then he testifies that a man called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool and wash. I went and washed, and I received sight. And then they continued and asked that, Where is this man? Where is he? And he said, I know not. And so then this portion that we did not read, because it is quite lengthy, continues to relate of the happenings where these people that knew this blind man then brought him on to the Pharisees to show them and told them that how he had received his sight. And those Pharisees, first of all, immediately, because this had happened on the Sabbath day, said, this man is not of God because he doesn't keep the Sabbath day. And then there were others who said that, how, if this man was a sinner, this one that had done the healing, how could he have done such a miracle? And so there was contention between those Pharisees. They discussed and pondered, debated this issue. And so then they asked this man who had been blind that, what do you say? Who is this man? And he said, he is a prophet. But they did not believe this man, so they then turned or called the parents and asked them that, how did this son of yours who was born blind, how can he see? And they said that just ask him. He's of age. He can answer himself that what happened. And so he again told them that he really didn't know who this man was. And when they said that, do not give this man the credit, that we know that he is a sinner. And they said that, give God the praise. They did not understand or comprehend that Jesus was the Son of God, the promised Messiah that had been promised to be sent into this world. And this man simply said that, I don't really know, but all I know is I was blind and now I see. The miracle that this man did gave me my sight. And then we come to that portion where that we read here at the end. And this man is speaking to those Pharisees who were questioning him. And he says that if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. That if this was an ordinary man, he could certainly not have given him his sight. And they became offended at that. Those Pharisees were proud people. They were well learned in the law, and they took offense that this man now was trying to, or it appeared to them that he was trying to teach them something. And they asked him that, feeling yet, I'm sure, that he was blind from birth because of his sinfulness. He said, you were born in sins, and now you teach us. And they cast him out of the synagogue. And so we can see how this man, when he was relating of his experience to those Pharisees that were questioning him, how though he at that point was not a child of God, we could say that faith had been kindled in his heart, and how he was able to sense that those Pharisees that were questioning him and who were arguing even against the testimony that he gave of his experiences were wrong to accuse Jesus. He gave the credit unto Jesus. And then they cast him out of the synagogue. But then at the end of the portion that we read, we can realize the most important lesson that Jesus here desired to teach, even not only to this blind man, but to those who were able to witness it. And he also desired to teach it to those even who heard through this man and through his friends and neighbors, those Pharisees, of what had taken place. We read here how Jesus, whom this man had not seen any longer after he had been healed of his blindness when he received his sight. But it says here how Jesus heard that they had cast him out, when they cast him out of the synagogue, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And so this man, we can understand, received not only his natural eyesight, but he also was given to receive the gift of living faith. He received his spiritual sight also when he confessed that he believed on the Son of God. And so even as here we read of those Pharisees who were so proud in themselves of their own good works and their own wisdom and knowledge, how they were not able to accept even this teaching that Jesus put before them and that they were able to hear about. But they, as they so often did, tried to find a fault in that work that Jesus had done for this one when he allowed him to receive his sight, allowed him to realize, even in a spiritual sense, how he was the one who had been promised and had been sent to take upon himself the sins of the entire world. And so even as we read here how Jesus earlier in this portion said how I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And so we remember also how when Jesus, after he had risen from the grave on Easter, how he appeared unto his own, his disciples, and how he instructed them and how he gave them the responsibility to go and continue to do that work that he had done. And so many times we hear this referred to, that it is yet a day of grace, but we know that night soon cometh when the day of grace is over. And the exhortation to those who travel yet outside of this kingdom of grace is that you would not harden your heart, even as these Pharisees did that we read of here, before God's call and invitation into his grace kingdom. But that even those who would hear that call today would take heed onto that invitation. The Heavenly Father desires that not any would be lost. But we also, even in continuing that work that Jesus gave unto his own to do, we remember how he gave many examples and much instruction unto those disciples before, after he arose from the grave and before his ascension into heaven. He did not appear any longer unto those Pharisees and scribes, those unbelieving people, but he appeared unto his own, unto the children of God, and exhorted them and encouraged them that they would continue to do this work of healing mankind from their blindness, from their unbelief, by proclaiming that gospel message. And even this morning, you, dear travel friend, can freely uplift your heart as you find yourself, even this morning, with your own, perhaps in some ways, unique trials and temptations that only you know. Uplift your heart and believe all of your sins, all of your doubts, forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atoning blood. And I, coming before you with many of my own doubts and feeling my own unworthiness, ask that, can I also be encouraged with that same message? Can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen.